Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our writer Jimmy Israel with us from Cleveland. Arsalan Iftikhar, founder of themuslimguide.com, is with us from Chicago. Christopher Ave, political and national editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, joins us from Missouri. In our Washington, D.C. studios, contributing editor for The Root, Corey Day. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, get a beverage. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm ready, Jimmy.
I mean, look, Michelle, somebody has to take care of you, right?
That person
at this moment has to be me. Fellas,
welcome
to the shop. How we doing?
Let's get it.
Awesome.
Don't kick me in the elevator. Let's get it popping.
All right. Let's get it started. You know, Bay and Jay have broken their silence, kind of. The family released a statement of sorts yesterday about that hotel security video that went viral this week, where Beyonce's sister, Solange, is seen flipping out on Jay-Z in an elevator. She kicked and slapped at the brother-in-law. She got a few good shots in until the security guard pulled her away. What did they say, Michelle?
Her, you mean Solange, or do you mean?
Solange.
Yes, I think it was. Another sister-in-law that I don't know about.
Yeah, Solange.
Okay. Oh, that's what they call each other for. Anyway, this statement said that they both accept their responsibility for their individual roles in the dust-up, and that they apologize to each other. And the statement says that at the end of the day, families have problems. We're no different. We love each other, and above all, we are family. We've put this behind us, and we hope everybody else will do the same. Unquote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, Michelle, you know, my heart really goes out to Jay-Z because in-law fights are like the Kobayashi Maru of marriage. You know, you lose coming and going. Hashtag Star Trek reference. But having said that, Beyonce is in violation of the game. She should have intervened. You do not let your people get into it with your people. And that's I don't care. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I'm not buying the all forgiven stuff. You know, that's just me. I've been called a cynic before. I've been called many names, some of them by in-laws. Corey Dade, what do you think? Whoopi Goldberg says Jay-Z would not have been out of bounds to hit Solange back. What do you make of that?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know what that is? That's like that old school black woman perspective that if a woman is bold enough to hit a man, she needs to be ready for the repercussions. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand it. It's something I've heard, you know, grandparents, aunts, uncles, other people say from way back in the day. And I do think as a legal matter, if a man is being attacked, seriously attacked by a woman, he is well within his legal rights to use physical force to repel a woman. That's clear. I think in this case, you know, he wasn't exactly in mortal threat, and his security guard was there. I think he handled it exactly how he should have. I think that's that. Now, whether or not B should have stepped in or not, yeah, I mean, you know, you need to get between your man and your sister.
Absolutely. You can't let your people get into it with your people.
But they had a security guard there, though.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Do most of us walk around with a security guard? I mean,
right. It's
a big beef, you wanted that? I mean, isn't that kind of his job to de-escalate situations?
Which I think if you're a security guard, it's not really your. No, that's not in your job description to get in family fights.
Yes, it is, because they're around the clock. They handle every aspect of their goings and comings.
Their job is to de-escalate and to ensure the security of their clients. And so I just, I mean. Anyway,
wow.
I understand that the hotel is that they've identified the person who leaked, or they believe that they've identified the person who leaked it.
He's been fired.
I'm more interested in the price tag. I mean,
$250,000.
But I mean, $250,000. Well, but that tells you something about the world that we're living in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It tells you do not get in fights in elevators unless you want your stuff on full blast on TMZ. Christopher Ave, as it happens, you're an ethics and morals guy. Be honest. Would you have sold the video?
$250,000.
Long
is
pause.
That what you're telling me?
Yeah, $250,000. Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I would love to sit here and look at you through the radio and say, no way. But, and it's wrong. It's wrong to sell it. But $250,000, I'm making what, $30 a year if I'm lucky?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a tough one. Let me just say this, though. And I'm at risk of being thrown out the barbershop, but I really don't care much about Beyonce and Jay-Z and Solange. I'd never heard of Solange. It sounds like it'd be a nice luxury car to drive, a Solange, but I didn't know
sounds
who
like
she
a hair
was.
Care product.
Exactly. But let me just say this, though. Here's one thing I can take away from this is it makes me feel good. I don't know about you guys. My family is a little screwed up. It's a little mess. It's a little jacked, especially extended family. And you know what? Yeah. They have the income every year of the GDP of Switzerland, and they still get into it sometimes, and they still have some problems. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Christopher, where are you going to be eating your holiday meal at, bro? I do not know, but you should report back. Arsalan, thank you for your candor. Arsalan, was it even legal to sell it?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, the surveillance video was the property of the company that was, that owned the elevator and in which it took place. But, you know, again, I have to echo Christopher's sentiment here. You know, we live in a TMZ culture now. Mm. And, you know, if an elevator surveillance security guard is making, you know, $8.32 an hour and TMZ or whoever offers him, you know, $250,000, you know, I'm not going to hate on him or her for selling on the tape. I mean, this is something that has become part and parcel of our culture now. We see this happening with paparazzi and video cameras on smartphones all day long. So you can't necessarily hate on that.
Can I throw a theory out here before
sure.
we move on? I have a theory that actually this has to do with the lack of upward mobility in this country now. This kind of garbage media is something that we associated with other countries where people had a fixed role in life. You were born, and if your dad was a coal miner, you're going to be a coal miner. And if you're in the upper class, you're going to stay in the upper class pretty much no matter what you did. And so we associate this kind of garbage media. It's a takedown. At the end of the day, it's a takedown. And I think I associate this with people saying, well, you know what? I'm never going to be rich. I'm never going to be famous. And so
it incentivizes
this kind of behavior. The money is a powerful incentive. So let's be clear that people don't get that kind of stuff for free. But I think it has something to do with people not feeling that they have a way up. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
I think even before that was the case, though, you had National Enquirer and other places that were paying for this kind of stuff, even when the economy was good.
Yeah, but those were fringe now.
You're right.
They were fringe. I mean, you can count, and I could count in your career how many times you would be talking about a National Enquirer story. Occasionally, it did happen when it was a person of real significance, like a political leader, and eventually some story turned out to be true, right? Like a child born out of wedlock or something of that sort with a person who claimed to have a very different sort of lifestyle. But that was fringe. Now it's become mainstream. So
well,
I'm saying.
But not because of the economy, but because of the celebrity culture.
But why is there a celebrity culture? Why is there a celebrity culture? I think it's in part the technology because it's easier.
Sure.
But I think it's in part because people feel like they've got their noses pressed against the glass. It's just a theory.
Yeah.
It's just a theory. It's all
I'm
saying.
Right. Well,
anyway,
I guess
if you're just joining us, having
Go
a
ahead.
Weekly visit with the Barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Corey Date, Arsalan Iftikhar, and Christopher Ave. Back to you.
Thank you, Michelle. I guess we'll never be royals. It's not in our blood. So, hashtag Lord. So, moving on to more drama, more money, more drama. Donald Sterling is the car wreck you cannot turn away from. Wow, just like your in-laws. And now he's fighting back. He reportedly says he won't pay the $2.5 million fine from the league and won't give up the team either. My dude, I admire that. This is a change of tune for what he told CNN's Anderson Cooper early this week. Drop that clip, please.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. Am I entitled to one mistake? Am I, after 35 years? I mean, I love my league. I love my partners. Am I entitled to one mistake? It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
I promise.
Michelle, I mean, wow, right?
Well, I don't know. Christopher, where are you on this?
You know what? The NBA is a private club, and they have the right to set a standard. There's an ethical clause in there. They have every right to take him out. Of course he's going to sue. I think he was always going to sue. I'm not surprised by this at all. I say get the man out. And please, stop putting microphones in front of his face. I don't want to hear what he says anymore. I really don't.
Arsalan, you don't?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the day that I don't have to hear the words Donald Sterling anymore. You know, I think the NBA owners, you know, will get their 3/4 majority vote. I'd be surprised if they do not get a unanimous vote. to kick Donald Sterling out of the league. I'm echoing Christopher again. I think that, you know, it was a foregone conclusion that he's going to use his millions and billions to sue and you know, take this to court. And that's fine. And, let him go through his legal process. But, you know, when he says that this was one mistake, this was not one mistake. I mean, he has been a racist slumlord in Los Angeles for years. And you know, I think that seems to be forgotten in this whole debacle as well.
I don't know that it's been forgotten, but doesn't the question still stand about whether comments that were made privately and meant to be private can be the occasion for this kind of action? Yes, it's true from a brand damage, you know, the damage to the brand standpoint, yes, but these were not public utterances. And those legal issues, while serious, were settled. And, you know, that's the question I think that, to me, that's the, so Arsalan, I'm asking you as the lawyer,
sure.
Doesn't he have a case?
Well, he does, but again, moving, you know, just like we talked about with Beyonce and Jay-Z, the elevator footage was private footage also. I mean, we live in a TMZ voyeuristic culture now where we have to just assume that anything that we say or do can be and probably will be recorded if we're a public figure of any sort.
You know, can I just jump in on the whole privacy thing? Yes, I think there is certainly cause to raise the notion that this woman illegally taped him, because in California you need consent from the other person agree to be recorded. But this is not about privacy as it relates to his ownership in the NBA. The commissioner asked Sterling, is that your voice on the tape? He admitted it is. So privacy goes out the window for the purposes of the NBA. He's already admitted that that was him talking. So the NBA is now going to judge him and make their decision based on his having admitted to that verbal behavior. So let's just throw out the privacy thing as it relates to his NBA ownership.
Jimmy, what do you think?
I just marvel at the knee-jerk liberal response to wanting to shut down and berate and horsewhip this 150-year-old white man whose race politics, surprise, are not aligned with the modern moray. Listen, in America, you get to sort out your ideas about race, class and gender in real time. I mean, he's an old cat. He's got old ideas. You know, he said all this stuff off mic. I want him to fight. He absolutely should fight. It is his right to fight. You get to, when you're having a spat with your jump off, you get to say just about whatever you want to say without have to worry about it being on CNN. And he was wrong. I'm sorry. He was wrong.
Did he say jump off?
I think
you
he said did, jump and I think off. We're just going to pretend that we didn't hear that, and we're going to kind of move.
I will say though, this is what to me is interesting here. This is on a collision course with the players. LeBron James has already laid down the gauntlet. He's going to lead a boycott by the beginning of the season. So watch, mark your calendars, October 28th. If he is still the owner, the players have a real big decision to make. And I think these players are willing to take the financial hit to walk out.
I think they are, too.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Well, let me just speaking about changing mores, Corey, I want to write about something you wrote about earlier this week, which is that the Michael Sam, remember that he was drafted in the 7th round, went to the St. Louis Rams, and that he kissed his boyfriend when he learned that he was becoming a St. Louis Ram. It was a very emotional moment, and there was a lot of stuff about this, and I think you and Arsalan both had something to say about this. And I think, you know, Corey, so first of all, what do you think that means? It was a lot of buzz. I mean, some people were very upset about this, and the NFL was not pleased that they publicly voiced their discomfort if they were active players. What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, I mean, it was the kiss heard round the world, right? It's you know, a lot of people were repulsed by seeing it. You know, what's funny is a lot of people who actually support Michael Sam's right to play in the NFL, who support even sort of LGBT rights, were repulsed by it. It's like, okay, you know, you guys deserve your rights and we're going to be tolerant of it, but I don't want to see it. It's kind of like it's kind of like how white people used to talk about black people. You can have your rights, but you don't have to live next to me. We don't have to talk. And we don't want to see you raising your kids. We want to interact with you.
You remember what this reminded me of on Star Trek? Speaking of Star Trek, remember when Lieutenant Uhuru and William Shatner were in this scenario where they were forced to kiss, and it was this huge deal?
Yep,
first
as
a storyline on TV.
But the storyline was that they had to. They were tied up and they were forced to by aliens or something like that. That's how controversial that was.
Yeah, it's like a backdoor into social advancing.
Christopher had something to say about this. Christopher?
Well, The kiss is the kiss, and of course some people are repulsed by it. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, so what? You mean you exactly. don't have a right to never be right. repulsed by anything. I mean, this is our world today. And here, you know, Sam's, of course, huge because I'm sitting here in St. Louis and the team drafted him. I'm a Mizzou grad, a proud Mizzou oh, wow. grad fanatic, right? So, you know, I'm a huge fan. A lot of the talk here is why did he fall to the seventh round? Co-defensive player of the year in college football's best conference, the SEC. Why did he fall to the seventh round? You know, it's cloudy. He didn't have very good workouts, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the questions is, you know, A, was there some kind of discrimination going on? Well, I don't know the answer to that. But B, I yes. think it's pretty clear. Some teams were shy of the media circus. Some teams didn't want to deal with, quote unquote, the distraction. I think that that's the most likely explanation as to why he went in the seventh round. And you For know sure. what? The Rams introduced him. He had a very good press conference. And then right after that, the Rams found that, oh, by the way, the Oprah Network is doing a That's six-part right. series on mm-hmm. Michael Sam's coming out in the NFL, et cetera. And, you know, They're from what happy. Our reporters are saying, the Rams aren't so happy about that. Huh. There you go.
Arslan, you have a final thought on that?
Yeah, I think it's all about content versus context and our unconscious bias. If Michael Sam had kissed his father, his son, or his brother on the lips, I don't think anybody would have said boo. But because people knew the fact that it was his boyfriend, they were triggered by it. And also, I would like to say, if this was a female athlete who had gotten drafted and kissed her girlfriend, would we have seen this same sort of backlash? I think a lot of people who were opposed to two men kissing would have been like, I ain't got no problem seeing two women kissing. So I think it has a lot to do with content and context.
Hmm, interesting. Jimmy, you have a final quick thought on that?
Good kiss. Let's play football.
Okay. All right. All right. Arslan Iftikhar is founder of themuslimguy.com and an adjunct professor of religious studies at DePaul University. Christopher Ave is the political and national editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Corey Date is a contributing editor for The Root. He runs their political blog, The Take. Jimmy Israel is a writer. You can find his blog at jimmyisrael.com. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Yep.